All right, hey, how about the 2021 Olympics? Anybody watch some of the 2020 Olympics? 2021? Yeah, 2021. It used to be, supposed to be 2020, right? Then it became 2021. I watched some of it. I thought it was really interesting. I think that watching the Olympics was interesting, but I watched some of the Paralympics. Has anybody watched the Paralympics? Let me tell you, I think I might be more impressed with the Paralympics than I was with the Olympics. These people who overcome these physical challenges are absolutely incredible to me. But, you know, this year when we watched the Olympics, there were moments of exhilaration and there were moments of heartbreak. And I think not only in the context of the competition, but maybe also in the realm of behavior. I saw some things that broke my heart this year. Maybe you did also. But for certain, I am always impressed with the years of intense training and discipline and dedication required for these athletes to reach the pinnacle of their specialty and to make it to the Olympics. I was watching the U.S. men's wheelchair rugby team the other day. Did anybody have seen any of that? Oh, man, you got to go back and look on YouTube. It's absolutely incredible. These guys are smashing into each other, you know, going up and down their court full speed, just banging into each other. And they're only using their arms all the way up and down that court. It's just incredible to watch the dedication that these guys have put into to getting at the pinnacle of their sport. And I've just watched them. I said, wow, these guys are absolutely amazing to me. And it was tremendously encouraging for me to see the training and the discipline that went into getting to where they were. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, man. We're going to be talking about discipline. Discipline for the purpose of godliness. That is what Paul is talking to Timothy about. So turning to Scripture this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at this text and mine it for some of the great leadership lessons that come from Scripture. And we'll connect maybe some discipline from the Olympics to our own lives. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 10. But I have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. But on the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. So we know this text is talking about a good minister's discipline. You know, maybe the heading at the top of that section for you says a good minister. Does it say that, a good minister's discipline or something like that? So Paul is talking to Timothy about the discipline in ministry, but we know also that these ministers that he's talking about are to be men who are examples for the rest of us men. And so we are to aspire to the same type of leadership that Paul wanted from Timothy. That is our goal in life, right? We're trying to become great leaders. And so we aspire to be just like Timothy was as a leader. So verse 7, look at this. But have nothing to do with worldly fables. I just think that's kind of comical. He talks about only fables fit for old women. But on the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only for little profit, but godliness is for ever, I guess we could say, right? Now, I think when we think about this word discipline, you know, there are many things that come to our mind. There's some positive connotations, maybe. Maybe there are some negative connotations when we hear that word. And I think maybe the way we perceive that word maybe says something a little bit about who we are and how we view the world, doesn't it, man? But when we think about discipline, I think sometimes about Lou Holtz, right? Lou Holtz, great coach. I mean, I loved Lou Holtz, right? He talked a lot about discipline and hard work. And this is what Lou Holtz said when he was talking about discipline. He said, winners embrace hard work. They love the discipline of it, the trade-off they are making to win. Losers, on the other hand, see it as punishment. That is the difference. That is the difference, isn't it? Whether you embrace hard work and discipline about it, or you see it as drudgery and you hate it, there's a big difference mentally in how you view this whole idea of discipline. But when Lou Holtz was looking at this idea of discipline, he was disciplining his men and working hard for a purpose. Now, his purpose was to win. He wanted to win. But the purpose of hard work and discipline in this letter from Paul to Timothy is different, isn't it? There was a purpose. It specifically states it right here. It says the purpose is to discipline yourselves for godliness. Maybe your Bible that you're looking at, maybe your text translates it differently. Maybe there's something different from there for the word discipline. You maybe you're seeing training. Maybe it says train yourself to be godly. Maybe it says train yourself for godliness. But we know in this context, those words are interchangeable, aren't they? Discipline and training are exactly the same. It comes from this original word, gymnazo, and it was used for male athletes who train naked in the Greco-Roman gymnasium. You know, if you know anything about your history, you know that's how they trained. You know, they stripped everything down. They were bare, and it was just them, you know, out there exercising, training for to run or you know whatever they were going to do. And so that's where the word comes from. And figuratively, gymnazo means this. It means to exercise vigorously in any way, either the body or the mind. Not just a physical exercise, but a mental exercise as well. It's a picture of the rigorous, persevering, painstaking, diligent. I can go on and on with these words, can't I? Self-sacrificing training that an athlete undergoes for a perishable prize. And that's what Paul is starting to talk about. He's starting to tell Timothy there's a physical and there's an eternal, and we need to recognize both of them, and we need to talk about both of them. So Paul, in using that particular word, is not talking about training to win the physical prize. He's talking about something much more important. He's talking about becoming a man who is godly in the way he conducts himself, in the way he is viewed by this world around us. And so Paul is saying to us, isn't he? The same thing he's saying to Timothy. He's saying to us, the reason for personal discipline, the purpose for disciplining yourself, the advantage to you, that word can also be translated advantage, is godliness. Godliness. So then, in this context, what does godliness mean? So let's try to understand that. It means that we have the character and the attitude of God in us. It means, I can help you this way. Maybe we can look at the definition of ungodliness, and maybe that'll help you understand the definition of godliness. Here's ungodliness. It's living a life as if God doesn't even exist. Living a life where you feel that there is no God and you can do anything you want. Do you know men like that? Men who live their life acting as if there is no God, and they exalt themselves, they promote themselves to the position of God. They are their own God. Well, that's what ungodliness is. So if that's what ungodliness is, then we can understand what godliness is. Godliness, then, is seeing life, all of life, through the lens of God. John Piper wrote this. Maybe this will be helpful for you. Godliness means a love for the things of God and a walk in the ways of God. A love for His ways and a walk in His ways. So, okay, where are we? This is what Paul is saying, and this is what we want to understand. The kind of leaders that God wants are these kind of men. They are men who are self-disciplined. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. They are self-disciplined, and they are godly men. So back to verse 8. For bodily training is of some value. Okay, so bodily training, you know, you guys work out, you exercise, right? You ever gotten in really great shape for some kind of event or some kind of activity? And then the activity passes and then you let off? Isn't it amazing how quickly you lose your strength? You lose muscle mass, you lose stamina? I mean, it just seems to fall off so much more quickly than it took putting it on, right? That's what Paul is saying here. Physical exercise is of little value eternally. but temporally, I'm sorry, but eternally it has great value. So look at verse 8 again. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Godliness is profitable for all things. Hey, we're businessmen. Okay, somebody tell me, what is the definition of profitable? How many guys went to business school? You didn't have to go to business school to understand. What is the definition of profitable? Somebody tell me. Yell it out. More revenue? What else? Yeah, what else?
That's it.
Okay, that's it. It's something that's beneficial, right, to you. It's something that's useful to you. It's a gain. And that's what Paul is saying. This kind of strenuous activity leading to godliness, it has a gain. There is a gain for you. And so godliness, according to the New Century Bible, says this. Profitable says this. Bringing you blessing in this life and the next. That's the kind of profitability that we're talking about. In the temporal, it brings you gain and benefit. In the eternal, it brings you gain and benefit. And then in verse 9, this is what Paul says. This is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. It's axiomatic, isn't it? I mean, when he said that in multiple places, he said, here's what he was saying. It's obvious. It's obvious. There's no arguing with this statement. This is a true and trustworthy statement. And then he goes on and he just pushes it a little bit farther in verse 10. Listen to what he says in verse 10. For to this end, what end? To be a godly man. That's this toil and this striving. It leads to this end. For to this end we toil and we strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Well, God's men, His leaders, joyfully labor, train, discipline themselves to be that kind of man, a godly man. Those we've been talking about physical training so far, haven't we? But there's a whole other aspect to it. There's spiritual training and spiritual discipline, isn't there? And so let me recommend a book to you that you can go to. This is Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, written by Don Whitney. This has been a tremendously helpful book to me. Every chapter is titled this way. For instance, chapter 3, Bible Intake for the Purpose of Godliness. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy, right? For the purpose of godliness. So there are physical disciplines and there are spiritual disciplines. Here's 15 of them in this book. We'll put it up on the website next week for you guys to see it. Highly recommend. If you want to be a man who's spiritually disciplined, this is a roadmap to do it. This will help you, men. So take advantage of that. So we labor. We strive to be godly men. Men who represent God well in what seems like a godless world. And as we labor, and as we toil, and as we strive, we remember that we don't do this on our own. So let me close with the words of the prophet Zechariah, who quoted God. And this is what he said: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. We do our part, and God will do his part, as we try to be faithful and godly men. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us this roadmap of how to be a disciplined man for the purpose of godliness. And Father, we want to do our part, and then God, the Holy Spirit, we ask that you do your part to strengthen us to be the kind of men that you want us to be, and we will praise you for it. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, have a good time at your tables this morning, virtually or wherever you are.